Melanie, good morning.
Good morning, Tess. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks so much for joining us. So to start off with, there's been a huge reaction after the release of these files, a lot of media outlets covering it, politicians reacting to it. Has the reaction to the releases of the files actually surprised you?
I think it has to a degree. We've spent so long framing asylum seekers so negatively in the media and in government policies and politics that it's easy to dismiss the experiences of those who are seeking asylum. And I think for the first time, the so-called Nauru files have really provided a concrete opportunity for Australians to read first-hand reports of what's going on in these offshore processing centres in Nauru and also on Manus Island.
So what can you say regarding how the media has portrayed asylum seekers in the past compared to the release of the files now?
Yeah, I think the media has really been party to government definitions and understandings that have defined asylum seekers and people who seek asylum in ways that really sort of dehumanise them. So we've seen a prevalence of words like illegal maritime arrivals, boat people, terrorists, detainees, and these sorts of framings of asylum seekers that have been really negative and almost sees them as other to people. And this has really disabled the ways that the Australian public is able to form any sorts of compassion with these people. So I think the Nauru files, the media has really jumped on board with this and has really helped the Australian people see that what we're doing, the ways that the Australian government is treating people, is not okay. It is a human rights abuse, and we do need to do something about it.
One of the biggest articles I think I saw coming out of The Guardian regarding it was one that struck me the most, I guess, was an article that had pulled out all the dates that Peter Dutton in particular had come out and said that everything on Nauru's fine, you know, it's all running well and it's all operational matters and we can't really talk about it, and had compared them to some of the files that had been pulled out, and they'd pulled out the same dates and some of the really horrific stuff that had gone on the same day that Peter Dutton had come out and spoken about how absolutely perfectly fine it was on the island. Do you think these files, having come out, do you think that the awareness, I guess, is the word I'm looking for, surrounding the files, is that going to be a lot more raised? Are people going to be more aware, I guess, of what's the actual things, the horrible things going on this island?
Yeah, I mean, you could hope so. I think for a long time we have known what's going on the island. And the secrecy that sort of surrounds the people processing and the fact that the media can't get there, no one can get in there, that the asylum seekers themselves are not allowed phones with cameras or smartphones, just to close them off from the world so that we don't know what's going on. And I think we see in that secrecy just how desperate the government is. And they use excuses like that it's so that the people smugglers and the asylum seekers or those that might want to seek asylum don't know what's going on. But really it's to deny the Australian public knowledge of what's going on. And Peter Dutton's response straight after the release of the Nauru files I think exemplifies the sorts of ways in which the government dismisses the experiences and what's going on in the island. I mean, Peter Dutton's response immediately after was to put it back on the people that are in detention, saying that they've gone to the extent of self-harming and self-immolating in an effort to get to Australia. And that's the constant attempt to deny what's going on. And I think as an Australian public, we do need to be really concerned with the secrecy and the denial of what's going on. And the Nauru files might enable us to have a stronger basis to start demanding more answers to what's going on.
So you did mention there the fact that journalists, they are denied access to the island, and there was a big sort of uproar about that a little while ago. What do you think some of the ramifications for not allowing journalists to access the island actually have been?
Yeah, well, for several years now, we just have had no idea what's going on in the island. And the government introduced the Border Protection Act, which actually enabled the prosecution of people that are working on the island. If they speak out and release the media reports of what's going on, they can be prosecuted and potentially jailed for 2 years. So to me, that in itself illustrates just how desperate the government is to hide what's going on Nauru. So the fact that people have risked potential jail sentences to let us know through these Nauru files what's going on, I think is really important and puts us in a place where we really do need to act on the information we're being given.
Another thing I've seen just following the story around on social media, I guess, a lot is people trying to place blame. And we've spoken a lot about Peter Dutton this morning, but I mean, before him, I believe it was Scott Morrison was the immigration minister. And then, you know, it just is a trail of people before him again. Do you think it's possible to, at this point in the situation, really lay the blame at anybody in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that blame is probably a helpful response at this stage. And I think as a whole, successive governments have to take responsibility for how we have set the asylum-seeking process in Australia over the last 20 years, probably, from the Tampa incident forward. But blame, I think, is not really useful. What we need is a productive way to move forward and change asylum-seeking processes and offshore detention processes in a way that is more humane and would allow asylum seekers to be processed in a timely fashion in a way that's beneficial to them in an era where refugees are a huge issue globally, but in a way that's also beneficial to Australia. And I've been quite overwhelmed by the comments that have been posted in response to my article in The Conversation, and the really innovative and thoughtful ideas and proposals that people have on alternatives for processing of refugees and asylum seekers. And I think if the government stood up and took count of some of those ideas that are out there, we could have a much more humane way to process asylum seekers.
And just before I let you go, you were mentioning, I guess, a few of the ideas that people had thrown out there in regards to how to deal with this asylum seeker crisis. But what do you think the future really holds? I mean, we have a Royal Commission happening into the Don Dale abuse, which, and rightfully so. This is, I guess, on the same scale, if not more so, people have been involved. Where do you think we go from here?
Yeah, I think this is an important point that's been picked up after the release of the Nauru files, and there's been a call for by Gillian Triggs and other human rights organisations, there's been a call for a Royal Commission, or the Royal Commission into Sexual Abuse that's currently underway, to look at the situation on Nauru and the reports that have happened to the Australian government on abuse of children under Australia's watch. So, you know, I think it's important that we do take responsibility for what's going on in our names of the Australian people, and a national inquiry might provide an option for that. But most importantly, I think we need to work out a way that the people that are currently in asylum can be processed and move forward in a way that's productive for them and productive for Australia.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Melanie, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
No worries. Thanks for having me, Tess.